This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I charge you to keep your duties steadfastly in mind, and as upright citizens, to return just and true verdicts.
All right, that's the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse jury. Got the instructions, and they are still deliberating. Well, not exactly at this hour, but they are still deliberating with the case. The jury heard intense and clashing stories, or narratives, if you will, from the defense and the prosecution. What will they decide? Such an intriguing case. So the jury resumes again at 9 in the morning Central Time. This is in Kenosha, Wisconsin, deciding the fate of 18-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse in his murder trial. So they broke on Tuesday evening and will continue, like I said, on Wednesday morning over whether the teen should be held responsible for killing two people and injuring a third during police brutality protests in the summer of 2020. In fact, what's interesting, as I said, and the world is watching this, certainly in the U.S., a lot of eyeballs are on this particular trial. The Governor Evers is sending the National Guard troops in as Kenosha is kind of bracing for whatever will happen here, whatever the verdict is, the potential for violence. They're not taking any chances here because there's a lot of hot spots in all directions over what this could be. There already was some small demonstrations on the steps of the courthouse in the beginning of this week with closing arguments when they continued on Monday. And then, of course, on Tuesday, there were more people that were also protesting. There were some that said, no justice, no peace. And there were others that said, let them off. So to be sure, as I mentioned, there are definitely clashing opinions on the fate of this 18-year-old man. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. And just a big warning for everybody who might be traveling. Oh, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there is something that's trending that's not pretty, especially in the Northeast. And Thanksgiving, it's not just about the balloons over the New York City parade route that would include this time around Grogu. If you don't know who Grogu is, I'll tell you later. But not just those balloons, but there is a storm, a potential bomb kind of a storm that could disrupt travel plans from the Midwest really to the Northeast. And of course, it's one of the busiest times of the year to travel. Major hubs, Chicago, New York, probably affected by this. I mean, it's all in the monitoring stages at this point, but I know how to read a weather map. You probably do too. You don't necessarily have to have a degree for that, for the basics, but you look at it and you look at that low pressure that could be near the East Coast by next Tuesday. Then you see rain, snow, strong winds, all of that is on the table. And so looking at planes and looking at the possibilities, and even if you're traveling by car or whatever, just something to keep an eye on if you are traveling. You know, a lot of times those disruptions can affect other parts of the country depending on where your plane is coming from. If you perhaps are doing the air travel thing, could be a little bit different car-wise, but it could affect that parade that I mentioned, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, because it's returning to its traditional route, and there is actual public viewing in 2021. And for me, that's significant. When I was a kid, it was the first parade I ever went to, was the Macy's parade. Quick, funny story. The significance of Santa Claus on a young girl's eyes. My father, who died when I was 8, at the time, I was three. I mean, maybe I was four, because 4 or 5, because I was aware of who Santa Claus was. And I was on his shoulders, and we were at the parade. And Santa, of course, is the closing feature of the parade, going down and getting out of the sleigh and off the float and being there at Macy's. that power of belief. And we were kind of near there, and he was yelling names out, and he yelled, "Hi, Katie, you've been a good girl," something like that. And I swear he was looking right at me. And he's just yelling names, I'm assuming, right? And he happened to yell the right name. So you never know. All right. Speaking of yelling the wrong name or the right name and being called out. Boy, and we live in the time of being called out, don't we? And this cancel culture, etc., that we live in. Liz Cheney is feeling the brunt of the boot. Seriously. So the Wyoming Republicans vote to no longer recognize Congresswoman Cheney as a Republican. How about that? So the resolution doesn't strip her of any power, so to speak. But by passing that, this is the Wyoming Republican Central Committee. They voted 31-29 during a Saturday meeting in Buffalo. It's a symbolic thing for sure. When you have that happen and they vote, they don't recognize Cheney, it means that, again, she's still representing, but they're not recognizing her as a member of their party. So the Cheney camp didn't hold anything back. In fact, a spokesperson for Liz Cheney said, "It's laughable to suggest Liz is anything but a committed conservative Republican. She's bound by her oath to the Constitution," and went on to say, "Sadly, a portion of the Wyoming GOP leadership has abandoned that fundamental principle and instead allowed themselves to be held hostage to the lies of a dangerous and irrational person." Wow. I mean, her woes began back on January 6th. And her repeated criticisms of the former president really hurt her with so many people in the party. And this is just an example of that. And she's the vice chairman of the House Select Committee. She's charged with investigating the attack on the Capitol. So that's another thing that's been in her breadbasket, so to speak, and has hurt her with some of these Wyoming Republicans. So they decided that that's what they were absolutely going to do. What is kind of interesting, and I saw this in some newspaper, that they were holding representatives accountable, so you knew how they actually voted. As I say to all of you, the buzz in your backyard and mine begins locally. I mean, what are your reps doing? How are they voting? Don't just look at the rhetoric, look at how they're voting, so you know when you make a decision on which way you're going to go. I mean, you may not just flat out like somebody, and you can vote however you want to vote if that's the case, but definitely look to see how they vote. Because during President Trump's term, Cheney, listen to this, voted with him on policy. I mean, a lot. 93% of the time. You know, that's a higher percentage than Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, than Matt Gaetz, the Florida congressman, and a whole bunch of other lawmakers who are big allies of the former president. So she voted more on his policy, for his policies, than all of them. Wow. What a crazy, crazy world we live in. And there have been a lot of anti-Cheney protests at the Wyoming Capitol. They sent a big message to her. A lot of people were very upset with Liz Cheney. All right, we're bouncing out of this and into some of the headers on the day on the flip side.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down. And inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Wow, it seems like just a few weeks ago, and it's true, it was just a handful of weeks ago that I was in the Pacific Northwest. Wow, the Pacific Northwest has gotten slammed by some terrible, terrible flooding, damaging flooding. I was looking at today some of that, and the floodwaters are starting to recede, but the damage, just terrible. In Washington State and in neighboring British Columbia, lots of evacuations due to some pretty, pretty high water. So it's interesting because when I went to Seattle and Mount Rainier and I talked about it, it was just a great experience, you know, eye-popping how beautiful it was. There was rain, but it didn't feel at all overwhelming to me. It's just not at all what I thought it would be. Well, now you had houses that were covered up in water up beyond their wheels, and a lot of that is what's finally starting to come down. But, you know, your cars and your houses have been sitting in that, so you can only imagine what that does. It's so tough when you get those floodwaters and you got to clean up after it, and then you see the kind of damage. Sometimes you can't always see it. You know it's there, but then you start to dig around, and you see how many things have just been destroyed by the water, and then the damage that ultimately can do to your house and the erosion all of that causes. So at least here's the good news. You know, it is receding. So there is that. But boy, they took a pounding, and I just missed all of that by a handful of weeks. All right, speaking of missing out, nobody wants to miss out on the goodies that are being handed out for infrastructure. I mean, where are you listening to me? What state are you in? Are you in the great state of Louisiana or Florida, or are you listening to me in Wisconsin or perhaps West Virginia or Texas, or you know, many of the wonderful places where this show airs? The president was on a rural bridge. Guess where it was? None of the places I mentioned he was in, although we are airing here, too, in a wonderful place, New Hampshire. And the bridge was terrible. I mean, it was rusted out. Who knows how it's barely standing up. And that's a bridge like that has been tagged as a priority for repairs in Woodstock, New Hampshire. And it has been since 2014. So now it actually will get some of that money, and the impact could be felt there. That's an example of it. I mean, how many people cross over the bridge? What happens if a bridge collapses? We've seen that in Minnesota and many other places, sadly, and how long it takes to get to people, etc., and how shocking it is to see a well-traveled bridge just completely crumble before your eyes. So I'll give them that. You know, that infrastructure signing is a big one, because money needs to be shoveled, I think, in the right direction. But there's going to be a lot of people that want a piece of the pie, because if you've traveled at all and you look around and you see some of the, again, crumbling infrastructure, you realize just how much it's necessary to patch up and fix and, you know, take apart and redo some of the bridges especially, but a lot of the roads too, and some of the things that you may be driving over every single day. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, it's not all doom and gloom, right? Certainly not. I mean, here we are. It is mid-November. Next week, we'll be getting ready for Thanksgiving. So I will have, might be cheesy, but I'll have my turkey list of 2021 next week. And also, what are we grateful for? What are we grateful for at this point as we get ready to flip into a new year? Because trust me, it just flies. Once you hit Thanksgiving, I think, is when the end of the year, boom, is gone right before your eyes. And it comes so quickly. So that's when we have our end of the year shows. And like I said, we start to look forward and look at predictions for where we're at as a nation. I'll tell you what, we better see prices come down, because people, I think the buzz in the backyard are complaining and should be about, whoa, what happened? My groceries are suddenly double. My gasoline is unaffordable. I don't know how people live and commute some of the crazy lengthy commutes they have to do in L.A. where it's nothing but a freeway and there's not a lot of options. Trust me, that's another place where I just was in October. A regular gallon of gas, no joke, downtown Los Angeles, $6.05. So think of the people who spend their time in the car. A lot of people spend their time in the car where they're going from place to place. And how much do you spend filling up the tank when you're spending that much for a gallon? I mean, it's got to be absurd for some people and not affordable looking at some of those increases. It's one thing to see a little bit of an increase, but when you see it jump that much, I mean, this is a second record-breaking day in a row in the state of California. I mean, they're just smashing records in the wrong direction all over the place. So people who work from home in California, particularly in Los Angeles or in San Francisco, Northern California, that is big. And, you know, when you look at the volume of people who travel, the number, Southern California, has the second busiest Thanksgiving travel volume on record, right? When you talk about the amount of travelers, and that was set in 2019, when you're talking about 4.5 million, and they're expecting the same thing. And a lot of people take road trips to reconnect with other people in the state, their loved ones who live in other parts. So they're going to be filling up and feeling the pain at the pump when you look at just how much that is. And look, all you have to do is look at what a barrel of crude is on the New York Mercantile Exchange, for example. Like last week, it closed at over $80 a barrel, so more than double the 52-week low. It was really, the demand was so low during the pandemic because nobody was going anywhere. And then it's ramped up. And this is the problem. So this is a smart audience and you get it. But what's happened is we've turned the page in a way, thank goodness, on some of the woes of the pandemic. But because it's happened so quickly and because of supply chain shortages and some other things that would play a part in this, suddenly in trying to get the supply up, that's where we're getting pinched. Right, so before it was incredibly low at this time last week, but now with those backlogs at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, I mean, it's a massive headache for so many things that fall into part of the play for this. The consumer goods that we talk about, it's definitely going to bleed into Christmas. It's definitely going to bleed into Christmas. If that doesn't have an effect on gas prices, that's one thing, but it certainly is going to have an effect on consumer goods, and however fast some of this is pulled apart, it won't be pulled apart fast enough. I mean, you're going to pay serious premiums for gas, and not just in California and other parts of the country. Even if you live in a rural area, you still are feeling it go up, right? Still, you're getting hit, whatever that increase is. There's no doubt it's soaring all over the place. In the bigger areas, maybe a little harder, doubling and going up a buck here and a buck there and a buck 50 there. I get it, but you're still feeling some sort of a sting. I guarantee that absolutely is happening. Hey, coming up, we're going to the mailbag. I say this all the time. It's worth repeating. 24/7, you hear something that comes on the show. You listen to one of the interviews, some of the fascinating people we have, including the authors, etc., and you want to reach out and ask something about it, do it. 24/7, it's that easy. Kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact. Boom. You may have thoughts about inflation. Liz Cheney, Kyle Rittenhouse, any of the things that we've already talked about, and we've just scratched the surface. Go into the mailroom right now.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Kenosha, Wisconsin is on edge as the jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial deliberates. The jury started deliberating Tuesday morning and have asked for extra copies of the jury instructions. Closing arguments wrapped up Monday with the defense saying the 18-year-old was justified in the killing of two men and injuring a third during riots and protests in Kenosha last year. Constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley believes the prosecution is facing an uphill battle.
The problem is you make yourself an issue. That's what Binger has done. He has contradicted his statements so often, presented evidence that was not borne out.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. House Democratic leaders expect to vote on President Biden's big social spending bill later this week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Clean water, access to the internet, rebuilding bridges, and everything in this bill matters to individual lives of real people.
President Biden in Woodstock, New Hampshire, selling his big infrastructure bill that he signed on Monday. The $1.2 trillion bill covers extensive renovations of bridges, highways, rails, and ports. Amid global supply chain challenges, consumers are feeling a pinch in their wallets as prices at stores and gas stations continue to rise. This person telling Fox Business a lot of the decisions being made are affecting people in the Midwest and not people who are making the decisions.
A lot of decisions that are being made by the big cities and coasts and the small town mentality kind of gets drowned out a little bit, but we hope that that voice can raise a little bit louder.
In financial news, a good day on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow gaining 55 points to close at 36,142. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
All right, let's just dive right in. I'm in the virtual newsroom. Like I said, it really flowed in the last couple of days over Kyle Rittenhouse and whether or not he should be put in prison for a very long time or should be acquitted. This one is from Alan, who's listening to us in the great state of Wisconsin. And Alan says, Kate, this Kyle Rittenhouse thing is a nightmare, I think, for his family. I don't understand why his mother is the one who shouldn't be charged. Why would you drop off your 17-year-old, it's nothing to do with politics, with a rifle into a crowd? Why? Why would you do that? I think not enough people are questioning that. I blame it on her. And I think that this kid is going to prison. I find it hard to believe. He might have gotten scared and had to defend himself. But, boy, it sure seemed like people became targets. I don't think that he thought he was out deer hunting, and that's what was in his mind. But imagine the rush of the people, how your nerves would be jangled up, and what could happen. And so, of course, the worst did happen. Keep up the good work. We love listening to you up here in Chippewa Falls. All right, so that's 680 WOGO. Al, thanks for that. And then the opposite opinion, I got this from Joe listening to us in the great state of Texas. And Joe says, Kate, I think the defense is right. It's sad that two people died and another was injured and luckily not killed, but I don't think this 18-year-old should go to prison for life. I don't think he should be convicted. I don't believe that that was the intent. I do believe he did act in self-defense, as weak as that sounds in some ways, because he was attacked. He was attacked because I think he was in complete shock and shouldn't have been where he was in the first place. I blame the family. I don't understand. The kid didn't even live in Kenosha. Why would you take him down there? What business did he have being there? And that's exactly the flashpoints and the stupid things that can happen when you have irresponsible people as parents. All right, and then this one is from Michelle, listening to us in Louisiana. Kate, I'll tell you what, the governor and the people in Kenosha better get ready because I have a feeling it's going to be an earthquake-like response to what could happen here. I don't think they're going to see peace and calm at all. So bringing in the National Guard is a very smart thing, no matter what the outcome is, no matter how the judge or anybody else tells the community to stay calm once it's announced, because I don't think it's going to be calm at all. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be calm at all, but that's why 500 members of the National Guard are going to be ready in Kenosha in case they are needed. So, you know, listen, regardless of the outcome, I mean, the governor, Tony Evers, tweeted out that I no matter what the outcome is, I urge peace in Kenosha across our state, and anybody who chooses to assemble and exercise their First Amendment rights in every community to do so safely and peacefully. It's just, it's a flashpoint. People are hot about this. And, you know, two people died. Another one was wounded. And again, this is a debate over protests, over law and order, over guns, let's face it, over vigilantism. It's a referendum right on the streets about all of that. And the opinions in this country are you and me against us and them. I mean, that's the deal, right? You don't have to be a genius to figure out. There is definitely, on any issue, there's just hard lines across the pavement. In my mind, that's what I think of. I think of a map of the U.S. and where is the line and where does it wiggle? And do we still have the ability to change our minds, by the way, on something? I've said this before, and it's such a cliche, and it's such a trite, easy thing to trot out, but I'm going to do it anyway. I love the family I grew up in because, you know what, there were hardcore conservative Republicans, God-fearing, yes, absolutely, this is what we're voting, and definitely there were Democrats, and definitely there were independents. But I can remember as a kid being told, you can come to the table, but you better know what's going on in the world and stand up and have an argument to present whatever it is your viewpoint is. And there were plenty of different viewpoints, but can we have different viewpoints and still get along? I mean, there's your question. Can we all get along even if we're vastly opposed to certain things? And can you say, this is how I feel about XXXXX, but I'm just not on board with this one little thing. I mean, that's the way it used to be. All right, speaking of being on board, remember the debate over ivermectin and some of the people that died thinking that this was going to help them prevent COVID-19? There was a Florida woman who got it and whose family filed an unsuccessful lawsuit to force a hospital to treat her with ivermectin. She died at the age of 47, so a bunch of people reacted to that. This one is from Joseph, who says, Kate, still to me, listen, I am a card-carrying conservative. I cannot back up people who do not do the due diligence on ivermectin and thought that it was the right way to go. It's sad that that woman died. Why? At the age of 47, because of what the people around her were telling her. So it's ridiculous. It's used to treat horses infected with worms, and it's not an approved treatment for a very good reason. It does not work. So thanks for that. Well, yeah, that whole story was crazy about what happened with her. I mean, they filed the suit, all that stuff. She did choose to accept the medical treatment, and the court didn't allow her, and neither did the hospital, that they didn't allow her to have that. But it's too late. I mean, it didn't help her. So there you go. I mean, just when you hear that this is used to treat horses infected with parasitic worms, That doesn't sound like any kind of treatment that I want to take that I think is going to save my life. I'm just saying, right? No, I don't think so. All right, then there is this from... This one is from Kelly. I thought this was interesting because I've been talking about polls and Biden's popularity has sank, his approval ratings are down, 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 and of course now there's a lot of conversation about what happens when we get to midterms again and how many people aren't going to run and all that sort of thing, because it's about numbers, right? It's numbers in the House and numbers in the Senate. So I got this from Bruce, who says, Kate, I listen. This is the first time I've emailed. I've been listening to what you've been talking about with the reading the tea leaves, as you call it. And I just saw a poll about what if the midterm elections were held, how would voters vote for the Republican candidate or the Democratic candidate? It was a Rasmussen report, and I'm not surprised by what that report said. It sounded like mostly people would vote for Republicans because for all the bluster of what the Democrats said they were going to do, I think Joe Biden has failed pretty miserably on many, many fronts. Oh, campaign promises galore that fell on deaf ears. Yeah. And, you know, finally the infrastructure thing and finally some bipartisan support, but piecing it out and not having part of this gigantic, ridiculous ask that was initially out there that was absolutely falling flat on its face. So if the midterm elections were here today, I did see that poll, the Rasmussen report. They said 51% of likely U.S. voters would cast their ballots for the Republican candidate compared to 38% who would vote for the Democrat. Then you had another 3 who would vote for some other candidate, another 8 were uncertain, 8% were uncertain. But the 13-point edge for the Republicans is larger than the Democrats had at any time during the 2018 midterm campaign. I think some of that is that there's much more independents. There's many more independents that are leaning the Republican way because the sagging popularity of the president and the consequences of that are really the referendum on this prez, and that's what's happening. You know, that what would be more valuable, whose endorsement would be more valuable? Think about that. I mean, and granted, it's a small poll that they do, but you can look at it and you can see where the polls are, and the polls do tell us something. So it's interesting that if the midterms were held, what would that, you know, what would that look like? All right, and how about this one was interesting. This one was from Issei, who said, to pill or not, I agree with you, Delaney. If a lot of people don't want to get the jab, they don't like needles, I bet you more of them would take a pill. If I were the president, if I were anyone on the medical front lines, I would have pushed for the pills as hard and fast as possible. If the idea is to get people to take it and use it as protection against any kind of variant, the COVID-19 virus, I think the pill is something more people would take. Absolutely. Yeah, and on that note, the administration is about to purchase about 10 million of the Pfizer COVID-19 antiviral pills. And it's experimental, though. They're going to sell it under the name Paxlovid. How do they come up with these names? Paxlovid, please. But it hasn't been approved by the FDA. They say that taking the pill, Pfizer is saying, taking the pill within 3 days of the onset of symptoms has led to an 89% reduction in the risk of hospitalization and death in people who are at high risk of COVID-19 infections. Isn't that interesting? So, of course, they filed for emergency use authorization, and they've already started to manufacture the pill. All right, stay with us. Interesting combo coming up on the flip side that I think you'll enjoy about nonprofits and giving your money.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Thomas Pyke joins us now. He's going to talk about something that I think is so interesting. He's the president and CEO of Direct Relief. By the way, it is the third largest U.S. nonprofit. That's according to Forbes. And he's a guy who certainly knows this nonprofit background. He's a former COO of the Peace Corps, so we're thrilled to have him. Tom, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kate.
So it's a perfect time to talk about this, especially with holidays coming up. How have nonprofits really, really fared during the economic recovery? What's going on?
Well, I think like all industries, it's a mixed bag. I think some groups have been stretched beyond the limits. And I think groups that, you know, do performing arts and things that just weren't possible during COVID had to make massive adjustments, like everyone else, to figure out how you can kind of pursue your mission in this new reality that we live in, during the pandemic. But, you know, I think that both nonprofits exist and are driven by an important mission to those involved. So I think there's a high motivation to get it right and continue to do the work that's required making all sorts of adjustments, like the rest of humanity over the past year and a half.
Yeah, and listen, there's fatigue and overwhelm and everything else and exhaustion in all verticals, but there's a thing called disaster fatigue. So it's all about picking charities, that kind of thing. What do you tell people who have to deal with disaster fatigue and feel overwhelmed by what's happening with, of course, all the national disasters that we seem to be facing this past year?
Yeah. Well, I think anyone who's experiencing disaster fatigue is not alone. I think probably there's a little bit of all of us kind of experience that just given the news that's constant, the worst ever hurricane season, two in a row, worst ever wildfire season, two in a row, the global pandemic in 100 years, you know. So it's an understandable emotion. I think you know, I'm not a trained psychologist or psychiatrist, but I think, you know, the point is if you're alive, and there's a lot to be thankful for, there's a lot to be scared of, but just kind of take a deep breath, keep going forward. And I think when it comes to charitable giving, you know, not everyone is in a position these days. It's a tough time for a lot of folks. But if you are, you know, my advice would be to, you know, the one thing that no one else can know is what you care about. So that's a very personal choice on you. And once you figure that out, then, you know, the trick is to find out an organization that will make you feel proud of what is done with your money. And to do that, there are ways to kind of look at different charitable organizations and independent rating organizations that do that as a consumer service to rate and rank charities on objective facts about, so you can know how your money is likely to be spent by groups that operate in that field.
Yeah. Tell us, I mentioned this at the top, you are the president and CEO of Direct Relief, and this is medical that we're talking about. It's a leading nonprofit humanitarian medical organization. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, Direct Relief has been around for 74 years. I think we're accredited as a, you know, distributor of pharmaceutical products in all 50 U.S. states. So one of the core activities is to make sure that we can get medications to people who need but can't afford them or uninsured. So that's a big part of what we do, but focusing on providing things that people need, basic commodities for health that they need but can't afford. So we work in all 50 states, about 100 countries internationally, and during COVID, I think, you know, I work at a warehouse, so it's kind of an operationally oriented organization. But, you know, the last year and a half, it's been a lot of, you know, provision of PPE and related medications. And, you know, with the pandemic, it hit the people hardest who were already in the worst shape before and the most vulnerable and the least fortunate. So I think we've tried to lean into the provision of needed medical essentials like PPE while maintaining the support for those who were already in tough circumstances before. So we've certainly been stressed, but again, motivated to know how these things shake out and recognize this is a public health crisis, and the public health institutions, the government can't do it all, which is why groups like ours exist and try to work in a complementary fashion and engage private resources for the public good.
Yeah. I have to ask you this question because I'm fascinated by your background and, wow, with the Peace Corps and starting off as a volunteer teacher in Thailand in the 80s. Did you ever think of the things that you know, you did early on that it would lead you down this path that you're on now?
No idea. No. It was not a carefully laid plan, but I think it sort of worked out that way. Yeah, I think Peace Corps for me and at my age, public service used to mean kind of working for the government. It was how public service was defined. And I think over the course of my last 30 years, I think it's being redefined. I think a lot of people want to engage in things that are definitely for the public good, but they're less inclined to want to work for government. So I think we've seen groups like Direct Relief, and I certainly feel like what I'm doing is exactly the same in purpose as what I did when I was a Peace Corps volunteer. I mean, for the public benefit, you're trying to serve people who need help. It just happens to be done privately in private organizations, but with the same sort of government-like in purpose, but at Direct Relief, we try to be business-like in our practices because businesses do many things very well and compete every day, and they have to show value for money, and those are both good things, both a public-oriented service of others and being really smart and thoughtful with how you spend it, which is the criticism that governments often face, right? You know,
Yeah, absolutely. So where can people go for more information?
I think directrelief.org is, you know, all about Direct Relief and its history and where we work and what we do and all the facts and financial reporting and disclosures so people can make an informed, they can have an informed view of what Direct Relief is all about. But the other groups like Charity Navigator and Charity Watch, I would mention those for the independent rating organizations that, you know, rate Direct Relief and every other thousands of charities. So people can make informed decisions. It doesn't matter if they care about animal welfare, environmental causes, arts and culture or whatever. You know, I think a lot of objective facts, and so people can make an informed decision. And that's important, particularly at the holiday season when there's kind of an emotional time and there's a lot of appeals that people receive, and it's hard to make sense of all those. So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. Go there. Check it out. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it very much.
As we close things out, a couple of quick ones for you that I thought were you don't say. I talked about the president and the fact that, you know, he was in New Hampshire and was talking about the infrastructure bill. I didn't realize this. Somebody had sent me a text saying, okay, so we're talking about food problems. We're talking about the cost of everyday goods, period, to feed your family. But then you look at what the tab is that's been racked up with some of these trips for all the criticism that the former president sometimes got for his trips to Florida, etc., but that Biden has quietly been making a lot of regular weekend and a few midweek trips back to Delaware that cost $3 million in security alone. So the Secret Service, you know, they keep those expense records, so that's what it was. Security detail on 16 trips to Delaware this year, $1.96 million. 25 trips in 43 weeks in office is what it breaks down to. So there's other parts of that. You know, what's the cost for Air Force One? What's the cost for the Marine One helicopters? And, you know, et cetera. And you can compare different presidential details, et cetera, and what they cost. But I guess these records are pretty incomplete because Judicial Watch is all over this, and they get the records. It's easy under the Freedom of Information Act. And they look at the records and say, it's kind of frustrating, right? Because you look at the Secret Service, you look at the Air Force, and they're pretty much stonewalling what the cost of the travel is, because the part of the other expense is hotels, rent-a-cars for Secret Service agents, airfare, train tickets, all that sort of stuff. The more you know, the more you understand. Wow. Start to multiply all of that, like I said. And then you look at all the criticism that the previous president faced, and you actually add up all the money. Be interesting at the end of the year to see how that all plays out, the dollars and cents of being president of the United States. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. A big shout-out to Jeremy for his fine work on the technicals, making this happen at the mothership. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.